However you got here, you're currently listening to the Perry Hall Family Worship Center podcast. Thanks for giving us a chance. If today's message speaks to you, encourages you, or just leaves you with questions, you can reach out to us at connect@perryhall.life.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's always a pleasure and an honor to be up here at the sacred pulpit bringing the Word of God. I do not take it lightly. I know Dom doesn't as well, because we know what we say here affects people's lives at the sound of our voices. And today, this is a message I have preached on a couple times in the church, and it seems like the Lord seems to call me back to this message, because like Dom, we always pray, Lord, what do you want to say to your people this week? What word are we to give you out of the scripture? And the Lord brought me back to this script, this passage again, and we're going to read about the blood of Jesus today. The most powerful force in the earth is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is our salvation. It is the only way to heaven. There are not many ways. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And in a time, in a culture where everybody wants to just get along to get along, the truth cannot be compromised. We have to take a stand for what the Word of God says. And we're going to look into that today on the power of the blood of Jesus. And it's a constant theme throughout the whole Bible. From the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis, we see the theme of the blood of Jesus. Now, the cross was not plan B in God's mind. He knew from the very foundation when he created man what decision he would make, because God is all-knowing. And he had a plan in place. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Supreme Court of heaven, already had a plan in place when Adam and Eve would fall. And we always go back to the Genesis and to the very beginning, because Genesis means in the beginning. And Genesis lays the framework for the whole Word of God. And that's why it's always under such attack with the creation story. Because if secular humanism can destroy the creation story, it can kind of disqualify the rest of the Bible, saying, how do we know it's truth? And we know that it is truth. We know what the Word of God teaches in Genesis. We know that when Adam and Eve fell, they committed high treason. And high treason, even in our country, demands death. So sin is capital punishment. There's no way, two ways about it. Most people look at it and say, well, I'm not as bad as this person. I haven't murdered. I'm not committing adultery. I haven't robbed a bank. And we compare ourselves one with another. And the Bible says we're not wise. Our only comparison is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all fall short of that. We all know that, and we fall short of the glory of God from the very beginning. So we're going to take a look at some scriptures, and I'm going to discuss why the power of the blood of Jesus. We look at Leviticus 17:11. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. There is no scriptural idea or theme from Genesis to Revelation more constant, more prominent than that is expressed by the words, the blood. We see that there is absolutely no fellowship, no enjoyment, no favor from God apart from the precious blood of Jesus. We don't come the way we want to come, by works. Religion teaches be good enough and God will accept you. Well, none of us could be good enough. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. There's a death penalty on sin that we all had to pay, but we couldn't pay it. And God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our salvation. So as we look at this, it's a constant reminder of the importance and significance of God. The blood of Jesus is always there. We see in the first very sacrifice in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they tried to cover themselves. And man is since then is trying to cover himself of his own shame and guilt of sin. But God provided a way, and there was only one way. He took the animal skin, which means that blood was shed for that animal skin to be given to cover Adam and Eve in their nakedness. Remember this, they were covered in the glory of God from the inside out. They knew not nakedness, they knew not sin. But when they sinned, that glory departed and they seen who they really were without Almighty God. So we see this, even as we look in the New Testament, we see that communion is given. Why do we take communion? Jesus said to do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of what? The cross and the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9:7 says, there's no forgiveness, not without the blood. You'll see the theme of blood, especially in the book of Hebrews, you'll see it preached, but you see it all through the New Testament. We see that even the first murder was committed because of worship and because Abel brought an acceptable sacrifice, which was a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. We see that with Noah, after the flood, the first thing he did was to make an offering of blood to God. So this theme is known throughout the whole Old Testament. We look at also at the life of Abraham. Now, Genesis 15 is one of the most important chapters in the Old Testament. It's when God cut covenant with Abraham, and Abram, his name was Abram, God changed it to Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation. And we know that in that passage, it shows that that God took an animal sacrifice and laid it out, and he cut covenant with Abraham. Now, Abraham was trying to be involved in it. There was vultures trying to come down on the sacrifice, and he's kind of swatting it away. But God put Abraham in a sleep. You know why? Because the covenant is all about what God's done. It's not, we have not done anything to earn it. Only Jesus Christ has done it on the cross. So the word in Leviticus says it to make an atonement for sin. Now, atonement is an Old Testament word. It's not a New Testament word, because in the Old Testament, atonement means to cover our sins. That's why there was a consistent sacrifice of animals and sheep and taking the blood, because it was only a covering for sin. Where Jesus doesn't atone for our sins, he washes them away and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So it's washed away. Whatever you have repented of and received Christ as Lord and Savior, it's washed away. It's just as if you've never sinned. And even after we're saved, at times we fail. We're not perfect, but we're on this journey. And as we confess whatever faults or sins that we commit during that time, we apply the blood, we repent, and we apply the blood of Jesus Christ over it to set us free. Now, we know that all sin is capital punishment, and something had to be done about it. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins. Not only does God forgive us of sins, he cleanses us by his precious blood. And I always use the excuses we women would know. We wash clothes. They may be clean, but there may be a stain on them. Well, with the blood of Jesus, there's not only cleansing, but the stain of sin is gone in our life. It's the perfect blood, the perfect sacrifice. And as we understand this in a more deeper way, we're going to be more grateful than ever to Almighty God. I believe when we get to heaven, I know we're in eternity, it's not time, but I believe the first million years, we are going to just thank God for so great a salvation. We're going to thank God for the precious blood of Jesus that cleansed us. We stand before God, not in our own merits, but on the shed blood of Jesus Christ over us that has saved us, redeemed us, cleansed us, delivered us, healed us, delivered us from any addiction. If you're a Christian right now and you're dealing with a sin or addiction, take it to the cross. Let the blood of Jesus break it off of your life and be set free, because Jesus paid an ultimate price for our salvation. So we know that the divine justice and holiness of God demanded life. Why the blood? Now, in the natural, you go to a doctor's office. What's one of the, for a checkup or physical, what's one of the first things they do? They take the blood. because the blood shows everything that's in the body. And the same way, the life is in the blood. So they can tell many things that are going on in our life just by taking blood in the natural. That's why when we get saved, I believe we get a blood transfusion. We don't have the blood that we used to. We have the blood of the Lamb running through us. And I've heard it said, I can confirm it, that medically they say there's something different about the blood of Christians. So I believe that. So we know that Jesus paid the divine, the price for the divine justice and holiness of God. We owed a debt that we could not pay, and Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. It's like we were in the courtroom of heaven. We stand before God. We are all guilty. All have sinned. But we come and we stand there, and Jesus stands in our place and he says, I'll take their punishment. You see, we deserve the cross. We deserve death for our sin. But Jesus took it for us on the cross. That's why we are in Christ and Christ is in us. When God looks down on us, he sees us through the precious blood of Jesus as we walk with him on a day-to-day basis. The covenant was sealed with the blood, the New Testament. You know that we know that infamous night, the night of the Passover, where the Israelites were just about to be delivered out of Egypt, out of bondage. They were over 400 years in bondage. And God heard the cries of his people. And you say 400 years, God knows the time and the reason why. We know there was 10 plagues. And the last plague was going to be the death of the firstborn of a household. So God instructed the Jews, the Israelites, to take a lamb, to take the blood, and put it over their doorpost and down the sides of the lintels so that the death angel would pass over. That's where we get the name Passover. And when it was on the sides and across the top, it was not at the bottom because they would not trample the blood. Remember in Hebrews, it says, we are not to trample the covenant or the blood of Jesus Christ. So when the death angel passed over, it passed over the houses that had applied the blood of Jesus. It's so important that in our daily walk, to remember to apply, and some say plead, the blood of Jesus. Now that word plead sounds like we're begging for it. We aren't begging. It's already given to us. I pray on a daily basis the blood of Jesus over myself, my family, our church, our community, our nation. We need to plead the blood. It's only the blood of Jesus. We look later that as Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and on their way to the promised land, God met Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments. But while he was on the mount 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of God, God also gave him instruction. He gave him instruction how to build a tabernacle or a tent, or a place where God could be among his people. You see, God has always desired to have fellowship with us. That was why he created us, that we would know, love, serve him. We would have fellowship and communion. God wanted a family. That boggles my mind. God wanted us, and he created us. So when after they had come out of Egypt, they were heading to the promised land. They stopped again at Mount Sinai, and God gave them the commandments. And when he gave them the commandments, Hebrews 9:19 tells us, when the commandments were given, there was blood sprinkled on the book of the law and on the people. Think about this. It was over 2 million people that came out of Egypt. God gives him the requirements of making this tent and how to do blood sacrifice. And when he came down, sometimes we miss this. He took the blood of the lamb, the blood sacrifice, and Moses sprinkled it over the book of the law that God had just given him. And he sprinkled it over all the people, over 2 million people. Think of the blood sacrifice that was done that day when that happened. Think of the precious blood of Jesus that's over us by faith today. You know, when Jesus had the Last Supper, it was the Passover supper. It was there that he said, he took the bread and the wine, and he said, this is my body and blood that's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That's why we do this every week. And that's why we encourage in your daily devotion, take a little bit of grape juice, take the bread, and remember Jesus. Remember not just his miracles and all the wonderful things he did, but remember his blood. Remember the cross and what he's done for each and every one of us. No one is so far in sin that the blood of Jesus, when they repent and turn to God, that the blood of Jesus can wash them and cleanse them and make them pure white as snow, pure as a lamb's wool, pure as a holy person before God. It's because of the blood, not because of works, but by his grace and faith in the blood of Jesus. We look at it further that as they went along in the wilderness, they built this tabernacle to God because God wanted to be among his people. He wanted to have fellowship. He wanted to lead and guide them. They had the fire by night and the cloud by day, the glory of God and the presence of God. And in this tabernacle was three parts. It was the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place, the innermost inner court. And in that inner court is where the very presence of God would reside. Nobody could go in there. There was a veil, 4 inches thick, 30 feet wide, 60 feet high, that separated the people from the very presence of God. And once a year, the high priest would go in with the blood of a lamb and put blood on the mercy seat that showed God would have mercy on his people because of blood, a type of Jesus Christ. So when he would go in, once a year, the people would stand back, and it was called the mercy seat that this blood was put on. Now, the scripture doesn't say it, but tradition says that when the high priest went in, they attached a rope to his ankle and a bell. And if that bell stopped ringing, that meant he died in the presence of God. Something was wrong with the blood sacrifice. And the rope was there so they could pull him out of the most holy place because they couldn't enter in. But think about this. With this veil separating, when Jesus died on the cross, when he gave his last breath and said it is finished, the gospel says that that veil in the temple that was now in Jerusalem, Solomon had built the temple just like the tabernacle. It said that veil was rent from top to bottom. Think about that. It was 4 inches thick, 60 feet high, and 30 feet high. It was like God in heaven did this. And no more were we kept out of the presence of God. Not only could we enter into the presence of God by faith through the blood, but God could enter into us and have fellowship. You see, we're under a better covenant. The old covenant, God was out there. They served God. The anointing came on the priests and kings to lead the people, but they never had the Holy Spirit within us. Because of the cleansing blood of Jesus, the veil was torn, and we could have access. The Holy Spirit came within us to live, and we, by the power of God, are carriers of the presence of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in us. The Lord of glory, by his Spirit, lives within each one of us. And you know what? He wants to live our life out through him so that we can be an instrument of salvation to other people when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we see here that the mercy seat has the blood of Jesus in it. Now, Jesus took his blood. And remember, that that tabernacle, that temple that was built in Jerusalem, was a type of what is in heaven. When Moses was shown this temple, how to build this temple, it was a type of what's already in heaven. So there's a mercy seat in heaven right now, as we talk, as we speak. And on that mercy seat is the blood of Jesus. And the Bible says in Hebrews, the blood still speaks. In other words, it's alive. It speaks forgiveness. It speaks deliverance. It speaks every need that we have, favor and blessing. It speaks in behalf of God's people who have the blood of Jesus covered them and walk it out in their daily life. So we can see what a perfect sacrifice that was given to us. Everything in the Old Testament centered around the high priest. When the high priest failed, like I said, when he went into the holy place, most holy place with the blood, there was no approach to God. The New Testament, everything is around Jesus Christ. He is our new high priest who can never fail. He has never failed. That is why there is not a continuous sacrifice. Once and for all, Jesus died. Once and for all, his blood is on the mercy seat that brings forgiveness and deliverance to each one of us. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the devil, the enemy of our soul, hates when we talk about the blood. He hopes we forget about it. He knows he was defeated at the cross. The thing is, he hopes we never have a full understanding of what Jesus did on the cross. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he didn't mean I'm finished. He meant all salvation is complete. He has finished every requirement for the divine justice and holiness of God. You see, God is a holy God. He demands by virtue of his holiness that there be punishment for sin. It's just by his divine justice and mercy that we're set free. You know, if somebody murdered a person, and I take this example, and they were truly forgiven, they truly repented, but they did this horrible murder, and they were truly sorry, which is good. Is that a cause to say, oh, well, he's asked for forgiveness, let it go? No, there's consequences to sin. There's always consequences to sin. The things we do, there's consequences. But the blood of Jesus can break those consequences off our life and set us free. Everything centers around the cross of Jesus Christ. We look in the Old Testament too, when the dedication of the temple by Solomon, there was 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep that were sacrificed that day. Think of the blood that was sacrificed that day. And only after that, God's glory rested in that temple. The high priest that went in once a year with the animal sacrifice. We can go. We have Jesus, who is the high priest of the new covenant, who took his blood and placed it on the mercy seat once and for all, not covering our sins, but taking them away. The first covenant was sealed in blood. The second covenant was not with the blood of animals, but with the very blood of God, God himself in the flesh. That's why the word of God says in Hebrews 4:16 that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace and obtain mercy and grace in time of need. It's a throne of grace and mercy, not a throne of judgment. One day it'll be a throne of judgment for those that have rejected Christ. But for us, we can come boldly, confidently to the presence of God because of what Jesus has done, not what we have done, because of the precious blood of Jesus. There's benefits to the cross. Ephesians 1:7 says, we have been redeemed through his blood, forgiveness of sin, cleansing of all our iniquity. We have the sacrifice. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Colossians 1:13 through 14 says, he, Jesus, has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have been delivered. We are set free from the power of darkness. There's only two kingdoms, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, and the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the devil. We are transferred when we get saved. We're translated. We're delivered. We're brought into the kingdom of God. We are called children of the light. You know, the Bible talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the God of this world has the minds of peoples, their minds blinded to the glorious truth. You know, salvation is the greatest miracle because the devil has a blindedness over people because they're in the kingdom of darkness. But when they hear the gospel, the Holy Spirit works, and we are to give the gospel. We are to share the gospel. We are to preach the gospel, the good news that God loves us and that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. A light opens and a person can get saved at that moment. Colossians 1:20 says this, we having made peace through the blood of his cross, there's peace with God. And when there's peace with God, we have the peace of God in our hearts. And peace does not mean the absence of trials and adversity. It means the presence of God in our life. We have this inner peace. We have this inner joy. No matter what's going on in our life, we know that God is in us and God is for us. We were separated from God in darkness. Jesus sacrificed satisfy the demands of a holy God, establishing a peace bond or a covenant with those who received him. That's why Romans 8:1 can say, there is there now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. There's no condemnation. Jesus has paid the price. Romans 5:1 says, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through his blood. What is justification? Justification is that you have been acquitted of your sins. You are made righteous. You are in right standing with God and relationship with God. It's as simple as this. It's just as if you've never sinned. That's what the blood of Jesus, by faith in the blood of Jesus, does for us. We are justified by his blood. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things that have become new. We see the authority of the blood of Jesus. We have power and authority in the name of Jesus. I was talking to someone recently, and I said, the only thing the enemy has over us is fear and intimidation. He's lost the battle. He's lost the battle. We win. We're not praying or asking God from to get the victory. We're praying and believing from a place of victory of what Jesus has already done for us. The devil knows he's a defeated foe. He just hopes we never realize, get a revelation of what Christ has done on the cross for each one of us, that we have been set free by the name of Jesus, by the power of his blood. We have healing. We have protection. We have every financial need. We have deliverance of addictions or any need that we have in our life. We apply the blood of Jesus and we break those strongholds off of our life. Daily pray the blood of Jesus as a protection over your family. And Revelation 12:11, we're in Revelation right now, a tremendous book of the Bible, not a fearful book. It's prophecies not given to scare us, but to prepare us for what's to come. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even unto death. They weren't afraid of dying. Many of the early church martyrs, they died. They called it Victory Day when they were martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ. So they overcame by the blood. We overcome things in our life because of what Jesus has done. And the word of our testimony, what are you speaking today? Are you speaking the word of God or are you speaking doubt and unbelief? Are you speaking faith in God that he's going to deliver you? Are you coming into your prayer closet and really rehearsing all your problems instead of giving them to Jesus and praying from a place of victory with the scripture and the word of God? We know that Isaiah 53 says that by his stripes we are healed. 2 Peter says that, who himself, having our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sin might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Revelation 1:5 says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, in his precious blood today. That's why John the Baptist, when he seen Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Behold Jesus, he is the only way. Revelation 4 says that when we go into the throne, we will see the Lamb of God seated on the throne. We're not gonna see the Lion of Judah, we're gonna see the bloody Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, sitting on the throne. And we are gonna bow before him, we are gonna adore him, and we're gonna give everything that we have or everything reward that we have earned on earth for living for him. We're gonna cast it at his feet because he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy because of the blood of Jesus. We have so great a salvation, brothers and sisters. Let us proclaim it day by day, the blood of Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. We break the bread, we take the grape juice or wine, and we remember the great price that was paid. Let's stand. Father God, we love you today. Jesus, we thank you for so great a sacrifice for each one of us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live within us, that God is not afar off, but he is near in our hearts and in our mouth as we speak the word of God. We thank you once again, Almighty God, for your precious blood and your great salvation. And we give you thanks in that name, that's above every name, Jesus Christ, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We declare Jesus and his precious blood today, for it's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. Give glory to God. Amen.
Thanks for giving the Perry Hall Family Worship Center podcast a chance. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and if you want to know more, we've got everything you need at perryhall.life.